Hello, and welcome to the Modern Network Radio, where we discuss the IT and technology trends impacting the federal government today. I'm your host, Ryan Traden, the executive editor of the Modern Network Online. And today I'm joined by a very key returning guest, Chris Myers, technical director at Juniper Networks. Chris is currently on the show floor of the annual SDS Cyberspace Symposium, a conference dedicated to solving the challenges that the federal government and military are facing in the areas of cybersecurity, community cyber readiness, and national defense. And you can probably hear some of the background noise from him being on the show floor right now. Chris has generously agreed to join the program amidst his jam-packed conference schedule to fill us in on the major discussions of this year's conference, what attendees view as the largest security concerns impacting our government and military, and the hottest security technologies drawing the most interest from the crowd. Chris, it's great to have you back on the show.
Hey, thank you very much, and I apologize ahead of time for the background noise. I literally am on the floor of the conference right now as we speak.
Well, hey, that's perfect. That makes you uniquely qualified to talk about what we're going to discuss today because it's all about the conference. So let's start by taking a quick look at attendance at this year's show. So who's there from the federal government side, and is it all senior military decision makers, or do we have representatives from other agencies there as well?
It's actually been an amazing turnout, especially considering the snowstorm that just happened to hit this area at the same time as the conference. So we have been pleasantly surprised at the turnout here for this particular conference. I mean, AMC's been here with their CTO, Mr. Walker. We've had General Hyten here from Air Force Space Command, General Bender from overall Air Force. There's been representatives from NORTHCOM, DISA, AATC, 688th Commander out of San Antonio. We've seen representatives from Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, Air National Guard, Air Reserve, Special Program Offices, DISA. It's been an amazing turnout as far as a mix of upper brass, decision makers, and the actual workers that are looking for hands-on technical discussions and expertise from these different booths in different areas that they can enjoy and actually take advantage of for brainstorming different cyber technologies and different technologies to support their needs.
Excellent. So it sounds like a mostly military and defense crowd, but it sounds like it's pretty a nice, diverse group of people from senior brass and senior decision makers down to the boots on the ground.
Definitely. And we've also been visited quite a bit by partners in the industry, your Microsoft, of course, we're Juniper, and all kinds of different technologists from the data center side, compute side, cyber side, storage side. And it's led to a lot of interesting conversations on different technologies and solutions, putting all the different pieces together for customers.
Well, you know, let's talk about that a little bit. So the theme for this year's event is managing risk in cyberspace, defining, measuring, mitigating, operating through. And that's the end of the theme. So risk management is something that I've heard a lot about in the security space recently. Can you define that for our listeners? What does it mean to manage risk when it comes to cybersecurity?
To focus managing risk on cybersecurity, it's actually very similar to managing risk when you're managing personnel or managing a schedule, except now you're talking about network defense. Now you're talking about keeping a foreign entity or threat out of your network. The problem with cybersecurity is oftentimes, actually most of the time, you can't keep all those threats away. So you need some type of risk mitigation, some type of risk management strategy in order to mitigate those attacks, mitigate those risks when they occur. And there's a couple different ways that I define risk management. There's proactive risk management, where you receive threat analysis data. You know before a threat occurs that there could be a potential attack, so that way you can mitigate or even keep the threat from happening. And then there's also where the attack actually happens, the cyber threat comes in, and you need to have the processes and policies in place to manage that risk, mitigate that risk from impacting your particular mission, whether it be a Department of Defense mission, whether it be an Air Force mission, regardless of who it is. You have to have the processes, and you have to have personnel trained and ready and have your readiness and have everything in place to manage those risks and know what steps to take to mitigate those risks so it doesn't impact your mission.
That's a great definition. And I have to say for our listeners, you know, risk management is something that I continue to hear, you know, across the board, not just from military application, defense application, across the federal government, and really across, you know, the private sector as well. This is something that seems to be the future for, you know, most companies when it comes to their cybersecurity and their mindset is moving towards the management of risk. So to that point, Fred, have you heard of any interesting case studies or, you know, security technology implementations at this year's event, the one that you're at right now, that you would say are good examples of this shift towards that risk management mindset?
Yes, I definitely have. So from a technology perspective, the focus across DOD, and this is actually a challenge as well, it's a focus and a challenge, but it's exciting at the same time, is virtualizing your network. We've heard about it. We've heard about network virtualization, you know, VMs, a virtual machine versus a physical machine for your users. Well, obviously, there's security risk and cyber risk associated with virtualizing an infrastructure. No longer am I just worried about a physical switch that I have to secure and lock down. Now I have to worry about a virtual machine on a server or a piece of software that someone can attack. So there's a lot of different software techniques around both protecting those virtual machines and also alerting a particular network operations center or alerting a particular network administrator or engineer or cyber warrior that an attack has occurred so they can take the appropriate actions before that attack affects the mission. Some of those technologies include virtualizing firewalls. So we all know what a physical firewall is, right? We have those on networks all over the place, all over the world. Now let's take that firewall protection, that barrier that protects your network, and let's put it into a VM. Let's put it into a virtual machine. And there are several different manufacturers out there that offer virtual firewalls. Of course, Juniper has their virtual SRX. Other vendors have virtual firewalls as well. So we're seeing a technology shift from a hardware protection platform to a software and virtual protection platform. And that's just one example of the technologies we're seeing today. Another one, of course, is the situational awareness, and taking a system like SolarWinds or a network management system and turning it into a security appliance to be able to give you the intelligence, the threat analysis, and the data that you need to make yourself aware that an attack has occurred or a mitigated attack before it ever happens.
Very cool. So, you know, we looked at the theme of this year's show, which is rather broad. Managing risk and cyberspace, planning, measuring, mitigating, and operating. So, you've done a really good job of defining what managing risk and risk management is. You know, what I'm really interested in is the last part of that, operating through risk. What do they mean when they say operating through risk? And technology systems, our agencies and military branches looking at to help accomplish?
The best way I could think of right off the top of my head to answer this question is let's use an F-35 or an F-22 as an example. So if I'm flying a jet, I'm flying an F-22 or an F-35, I have a flight mission. I need to keep that mission operating, right? Otherwise, the pilot is not going to be able to carry out his mission. So let's say a cyber attack occurs. So let's say something happens. All of a sudden, he sees a blink in his systems. There's an attack happening. Someone's breaking into the software. Operating through risk means you have to have the processes and policies and technologies in place where the person flying that F-22 or that F-35 can continue his mission through that attack that's occurring right now, real time, as he's executing his mission. Some of the technologies that can be used to support that, one of the things we already talked about is a virtual firewall. So let's say I have a virtual firewall. The attack is occurring. The virtual firewall has a policy in place that says, wow, I can't stop this particular instance, but you know what I can do? I can shift this particular attacker somewhere else. I can ghost this attacker. I can send him somewhere off in cyberspace in my network that's not going to impact my F-22 or F-35 pilot in supporting his mission. And that's just one example of technologies out there and the idea of operating through risk.
Excellent. Well, hey, Chris, unfortunately, that is all of the time that we have for today's episode. I do want to thank you for making time in your busy conference schedule to call in and join us on the program today, though.
Oh, no problem. I'm just excited and pumped up. This is an amazing conference, amazing people, amazing technology strategy and solutions and discussions ongoing throughout this entire conference.
Excellent. Well, hey, thank you. It's always an honor and a privilege to have you on the show, and I'm sure we'll find an excuse to get you back on here again.
Thank you, sir, and appreciate the time.
So for our listeners, first off, if you're ever wondering if we really are recording these podcasts live from the show floor, that should probably answer all of your questions, as you can see all of the background noise from Chris there, but hopefully that didn't distract you from enjoying our conversation. I want to thank all of you as well for taking the time to listen to our program, and I encourage you to check back frequently for future episodes of the Modern Network Radio program in the coming weeks.